Now, you're going to have to catch up if you're taking kids, because I only have 29 minutes to minister a message because I have a big clock on the back wall. Everybody turn around and look at it. So if I see you looking at it, I'll know that you're trying to figure out when I'm going to quit. But I'm going to go through some things this morning in the celebration of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now, last Sunday, we called it Palm Sunday, and I talked about why they waved the palm. And we really studied some wonderful things about that celebration, because it was when Jesus was coming into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey. That's how I know he was a cowboy. You got to be a cowboy to ride a donkey, trust me. They don't have what they call withers. And a wither is on their back, and that's really what holds a saddle from sliding over top of their head. So they'd have to invent things on mules and donkeys to hold that saddle into place. And here, Jesus is riding in on a donkey, not a warring horse for battle, but a donkey. And I explain what that donkey meant, because it was amazing the meaning of even just the donkey, which was peace, security, hope, you see. And then we talked about the clothes, and a lot of people didn't even know this, where they would throw clothes, and that's what they wanted Jesus to walk on. But really, you know what the clothes that they threw down and they took off represented? A change. A change from the old way, because the new way was riding in, named Jesus. And praise God, we don't live by the old man any longer. No, when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, behold, all things become new in Christ Jesus, you see. Well, that was Good Friday. And now, obviously, when you look at John chapter 19, verse 1, it says, then Pilate took Jesus, scourged him. I like how you really study out what that really means, is that they whipped him, they lashed him, severely punished him because he dare said he was the Son of God. Now this is obviously the crucifixion that leads us up to the celebration of today. They twisted a crown on top of his head of thorns. Very agonizing, in a mocking way, obviously, to mock him that he called himself the King of the Jews. They put a purple robe on him, which again mockingly meant royalty. But in all reality, our Savior Jesus is royal. Hallelujah. And they begin to say, King of the Jews. Then the Bible says they, and this is what boggles my mind, is because it was so-called ministers, priests. They buffeted him and then they open-handed slapped him. The Bible says 110 of them. Over and over, hit the backhand and the front hand. You see. They tore his clothes off. Matter of fact, they started selling them, auctioning them off. And then obviously they nailed him to the cross. And then there was that time when Jesus said, it's finished. It's finished. Now I want to deal with the next couple of days. So I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 27. All of you have a Bible, right? Because we're at church. Right? If you don't, then you're going to have to trust that I'm reading what it says. But really, I want you to start bringing your Bible to church, because if you're born again, then that's our manual. and you don't want to just rely on the priest or the preacher, you need to look at that book yourself, because it's your manual. And when it's your manual, you can go to it, even if you don't understand it, and say, God, I need revelation on what the heck does this part mean? And then God will give you that revelation. Amen. He's the teacher. The Spirit of God is the teacher, you see. And He'll teach you the Word of God. But really, that's why you come to church. Because then the Bible says a preacher will preach it. But I want y'all to follow along in case I was to make a mistake and skip over a verse on accident. You'll be able to read it for yourself. And then when you get home, I want you to read it as well, you see. When Jesus was taken off of the cross, we find in about verse 57 of chapter 27 of Matthew, it says, "Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate to ask for the body of Jesus." Now, think in your mind, Jesus was crucified. We don't have to explain the nails that were in his hands and feet hanging on the cross. We don't have to explain the misery that he was going through. A couple other thieves were on the cross with him. He was in the middle. We don't have to explain even at the very end, just to make sure he was dead, they pierced his side with a sword, a spear. It was terrible, terrible. But this is when they brought the body down. And Joseph, verse 59, had taken the body, wrapped it in clean linen clothes, cloths, and laid him in a tomb. And he put this rock over the tomb. So on Friday, you see, was the burial. Again, Jesus took the body, wrapped it, laid it in a tomb, rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Then on the very next day, which is a Saturday, the Bible calls it the resting day, or a lot of people, we call it the Sabbath, you see. The Pharisees asked Pilate to guard the tomb, and you can read all of this in chapter 27. The Pharisees asked Pilate to guard the tomb to prevent the disciples from stealing the body. In other words, Jesus had already prophetically said that he was going to be raised from the dead the third day. He was in this tomb, a big stone was covering the tomb, right? And then they literally thought, well, since Jesus had professed and declared and prophesied that he was going to be raised from the dead, probably, Pilate, what's going to happen is they're just going to steal the body to try to make everybody believe it. So he, as y'all know, put Roman guards to protect the body. And then, of course, for lack of time, the resurrection day was here. Look at verse 20, chapter 28, verse 1. Now, after that Saturday, as we call it, but it was just, it could have been any day, the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook with fear of him, and became like dead men. Now listen to me. All that is if you've ever been in a charismatic church, and you see someone fall out, that's really what this is talking about. Most of the time in some of our charismatic churches that I grew up in, if you looked back, it probably wasn't the Spirit of God knocking you down. Please catch me. Catch me. You know. So, but if the power of God comes and knocks you to the ground, praise God, because it is the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I want you to begin to see some things right here. Look at verse 5. But the angel answered and said to the woman, remember, Mary was coming, try to find the body, celebrate it. The angel said, don't be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified, but he's not here, for he has been risen. Come on, clap your hands for that. Let me say it again and get it a little bit better for you to clap. Do not be afraid, Mary, or church, for I know that you come to seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has been risen. Okay? And he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed, here is going before you in Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I've told you. Verse 8. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. In other words, there's something about doing the work of an evangelist, you see. Because look at verse 9. It says, and when they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus. He wasn't in the tomb, remember? Because he had been raised from the dead. Jesus met them saying, and he just said this one word that I say to you and to the church today. And what was it? Say it louder. Rejoice. If you don't have a Bible, let's just all say it together. We're going to say the word rejoice, okay? On the count of three. One, two, three. Rejoice. So Jesus is saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. This is in red. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. You see, there's something about rejoicing. No matter what. I mean, we've got all kinds of opportunities to not rejoice in this world, correct? I mean, walk in and you have to deal with finances, and you got to deal with health issues, and you got to deal with relationships and marriages and children, and the things just go on and on and on, and we're dealing with things, and then sometimes because of the business of this world, man, we just can get into a jam. And we can allow life to come all on us and overtake us in a negative way. But Jesus is saying, wait. Why don't you just rejoice that I've been raised from the dead and understand the meaning of that resurrection? And the meaning of the resurrection is that we can walk in victory, praise God. We can rejoice. And then the second part is then do the work of an evangelist. Listen to me. If you're in the kingdom of God and Jesus is Lord, and I won't go across this crowd yet and ask you if you're born again, but you should know. The question at the end of the service will be, is Jesus, the one we're celebrating, his resurrection today, is Jesus your Lord? Have you ever invited him into your heart? This is Romans 10:9, by the way. And confessed him as Lord. Not just knowing him. Not just maybe calling out on him when all hell is breaking loose in someone's life. I'm talking about, is he the Lord of your life? Because if he is, then you're in the kingdom of God. And there's something about evangelizing and telling people about your Lord. We are not ashamed, not because of persecution or anything else, to tell people about the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Because there's going to be a day, the Bible calls it the Great Judgment Day, when you're going to stand before God individually, not with your family, not with your friends. And God's going to say one of two things. If Jesus is Lord, he's going to say, well done. Enter. into the rest of the joy of the Lord, heaven. Whoo, I can't wait. But this is what some preachers don't talk about, that place called hell. And it's a bad place. If you study hell, whoo. And the good news is you don't have to choose hell. You can choose heaven. But the only way to choose heaven is by choosing Jesus. Not being a good person. Thank God for that. Good works is a good thing. But Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. The only way to get to the Father in heaven is through Jesus. That's John 14, you see. Okay. I want you to really understand that evangelism doesn't mean you have to be behind a podium preaching and be an evangelist that travels, a traveling ministry. I still do that, y'all. I know it makes some people upset when I leave sometimes in the summer for a few Sundays. It's because God has not released me from going out there and evangelizing. And I tell people about Jesus. I would love to just stay here as the pastor. And I am the pastor. But I'm commissioned to continue to go out. You know why? Because no one else will. It's easy to be behind the podium drawing a salary at a church. Of course, I don't do that. I just trust God. And so I still do the national final service. Now it's at the Resorts World. I still do the college finals most of you know about. That I put up a tent. You can either go to the bar or you can come to the tent after the rodeo serves. And be served at the tent. And they come, man. Because they understand that they're there to compete, not to party. I mean, they have priorities. They're the best in the world, you see. So there's something about telling people about Jesus. But I want to talk to you real fast as you flip the page and go to about verse 16 of Matthew 28 about the Great Commission. Because we've already talked about the crucifixion of what happened with him hanging on the cross. We already last week talked about Good Friday and waving the palm leaves and putting their clothes down. Jesus coming in on a donkey. I want to talk to you about really this morning about the Great Commission. Look at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain, which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, listen to me, remember, he's been raised from the dead. He's going to be going to the belly of the earth, hell, before he's ascended up to heaven and be seated at the right hand of the Father. He's trying to tell the disciples, listen to me. Verse 18, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And he said, go. 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 And that's what God's saying to you and I. Go. Therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, to teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. The thing that I want to minister to you really fast is go. That's why I want you to continue to come to church. But really, we're commissioned to go, to go, to go, to spread the gospel. You don't have to be a fivefold preacher, a pastor, or an evangelist, an apostle, a prophet, or whatever. You don't have to be any of those. All of us are commissioned to go, to go. And when you go, you're going to do four things real fast. You're going to tell people about your Savior. Why are we afraid of that? Because really, that's the commission that he's calling all of us believers. And if you're a believer of Jesus, that is our job. Well, yeah, but I don't know much scripture. It doesn't matter. You don't have to know anything. But hey, do you know Jesus? And if they say, well, tell me about him. You're going to say, if you don't know, well, we have church on Sunday. But really, if you'll start getting some knowledge of the Son of God, of the Lord that lives on the inside of you, you'll be able to tell them about your Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the Prince of Peace. He's Almighty. He's the everlasting. He's full of joy. You can do all things through Him that gives you strength. You can be more than a conqueror through God because He loves you. All of it because Jesus. See? So God's saying, go. Come on, sister. Brother, go. Tell people about Jesus. Number two, you can then walk in victory. Not be the victim over and over and over. I just keep getting in trouble. I keep doing the wrong thing. Addiction still controls me. No, no, no. You can walk in victory in Christ Jesus because the Bible says all things are possible to him that believes in Christ Jesus. So why don't we live in victory instead of defeat? You see. Man, I'm praying for our country. Ooh. Because, yes, we're under attack. I know the churches are full on an Easter service, but you know what? They need to be full all the time, understanding that the true hope, the true protection is only found in Jesus, not in the world system in any way. So I'm just trying to convince people as fast as I can. Why? I'm trying to convince them that Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. Why am I doing that? With the urgency that I believe we should be doing it in these last days. It's because of that we're in the last days. And I don't want people to go to the place called hell. Because remember, when you stand before God without Jesus, because God gave you a will to say no to God or to say yes to God, He's not a God that makes you do anything. A preacher can't make you do anything and beat you up over the head with the Bible. All we can do is present it to you. The Bible says in Deuteronomy that I present to you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then he helps us and he says, but please choose life and the blessing so that you and your seed, your kids and their kids will prosper. I just want you to walk in victory. I don't want you to go to the place called hell. But if you choose, since you have a will to say, I don't believe in this God stuff, you have that right, y'all. But if you do and you leave this earth and your flesh dies, it's going to live somewhere. Either in the place called heaven, please choose that, please. Or the place called hell. I want you to live in victory. Here's the third thing, and there's only four, and we're closing. The third thing that the Great Commission commands us to do when he says go is to live in his kingdom. Look at me, everybody, real fast. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we don't live in the kingdom of the world anymore. We live in the kingdom of God. Matthew says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the things will be added unto you. You know what that literally means? His kingdom is God's way of doing things here on earth like heaven. So his kingdom is living by this word. And yeah, I know we make mistakes and there's grace, mercy, forgiveness, praise God. But really, when you live in his kingdom, you start living how he operates. You talk like God. Not saying you're God. You just talk like him. You start speaking life into that. Remember John 10:10? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that we might have life and more abundant life. You start saying like, hey, I can do it. I can do it. The world says, I'm just not good enough. I don't look the part. But we don't live by the world. We live by the kingdom of God. So it's imperative that we live in God's kingdom. And the fourth thing, and I'll close, is that we're constantly reminding ourselves to look up because our redemption draws nigh. In other words, Jesus is about to come back, y'all. And I know they've been saying this for 100 years, but we're not going to stop looking up. Because Jesus could appear at any time. I looked out this morning and there was clouds. I said Jesus could appear today because the Bible says that the clouds will separate and Jesus will appear to call up all the saints, the dead in Christ first, and then all of us saints, people of God, born again Jesus people, will be called up to meet Jesus in the air. Now, I'll be preaching that at a later date because I ain't got time now. But we got to talk about it because that's what the resurrection is for. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's done everything He's going to do. Now it's up to you and I to do the Great Commission. And the Great Commission again, go. And I'm not saying you go to Africa, tell people about Jesus and eat beetles. No, I'm talking about just go right down the road. What's up, dog? I want to tell you, have a blessed day today. That seed. Because it might have been something that this man of God needed. Not being preached at. Just say, hey, blessings today. Now, there might be someone that says, hey, sister, I just want to tell you, Jesus loves you. And then just walk off. Because what you did is you planted a seed. See, that's the Great Commission. That all our job is to just go. If they ask us theological questions, it's okay to say, you know what, I don't know. I just don't know. But one thing I do know is Jesus loves you. And that's all you're doing. You're going around and you're going. And you're just kind of looking around. Why is that lady over there crying by the gas pump? Maybe she can't afford the gas because it's so high. Right? Okay. Well, you do what I did at Mojo's in Liberty Hill. You know what I did? The guy's coming out there. There's two lines. And I come up into the left line, but there's two cars on the right side. And all I did was they came to me before the two that were already there. So I rolled down my window and I said, those two people are first. It excited the last one so much that she bought all my drinks. I was just wanting to be a blessing. I didn't want to cheat the system. And she goes, you know what? Because I rolled up there and said, hey, I'll buy yours. Well, you know what? If someone's crying at the gas pump and God has ultimately blessed you with finances, why don't you buy their gas? If money doesn't control you, why don't you be the blessing? Because that's the Great Commission. Go. Come on, you can do it, brother. I know you had surgery, but get up in Jesus' name and be healed. Right? I mean, we think it's so fanatical that by the power of God, I mean, right now I feel like the Spirit of God is saying, hair grow in Jesus' name. I'm kidding, brother. I see a lot of y'all slick-headed folk out there. Take off his hat. All right, I better. It's 1 minute. Praise God. I say today, let's do the Great Commission. Let's go. Amen. Are you born again? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus and you don't know what would happen to you, if you stood before God and the Bible is true, you don't know if you'd go to the place called heaven or hell, hadn't thought about it, don't believe in any of it, I want you to think about it today. Again, the Bible is true. Scientists, y'all, have been trying to disprove the Bible ever since it was written, and they can't. Because it keeps coming to pass. Everything that was written, our laws come from the Bible, the Ten Commandments. And there's order that way. But, again, you have a right not to believe any of it. I'm just asking you, please. Please choose heaven and not the place called hell. And in order to choose heaven, you have to receive the Son of God named Jesus. Not a denomination, not a church, not a preacher. The Son of God, Jesus. Is He your Lord? I'm not talking about the devil trying to remind you of all the problems of your life and the sin that you've committed even this morning. I mean, doesn't matter. Who cares? What God cares about, though, is who's the Lord of your life. And whoever's the Lord of your life, if it's Jesus, you can get free from sin and death. You can start living a righteous life like the Bible wants you to live. But is He your Lord? If He's not, I'm going to ask you to make Jesus your Lord by praying a prayer with me. If you're here or watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to confess a prayer. And here's the prayer we're going to pray. Romans 10:9. We're going to confess with our mouth out loud that Jesus is Lord. We're going to invite Him into our heart. And then we're going to believe that God raised Him from the dead. That's what we're celebrating today. And when we do that, the King James says, thou, which is all of us, shalt be saved. And I want you saved this morning. I don't want you going down the road without your Savior. Because we are not guaranteed a certain time in this life. Now, I want to live a long life. I do. But for some people, life on this earth could be over in a flash. But is Jesus Lord? Because you're going to spend eternity somewhere. And I'm just asking you, when you pray this prayer, to ask Jesus to come into your heart and make for sure that you're going to spend eternity in heaven. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer. I'm going to ask all the believers to pray this prayer out loud with anyone that's here that has never made Jesus your Lord. I want you especially to pray it and mean it and pray it where your ears can hear it. But all of us believers, we're going to pray it with you. And y'all know the reason I have everybody pray this prayer is not to get saved again, fire insurance or whatever. No, you need to learn the spirit of this prayer so that you can go and lead people to Jesus that wouldn't come to any church service, even on Easter. So again, if you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, pray this prayer with all of us out loud, and let's pray it just like this. You ready? Say this out loud. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of every sin. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And today I'm saved, knowing that you're my Lord. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. But while I live here, on this earth, I need a Savior. I need to learn about your kingdom. So I'm willing to learn. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Before we all say amen and raise our heads, if you don't mind, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your heart to Jesus this morning, I want you to know angels in heaven are rejoicing. Glory to God. And they're doing it for you individually. So listen to me. Don't ever be ashamed of letting people know that you gave your heart to Jesus. So what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to ask you to come down. I'm going to ask you to be bold, though, right where you're sitting or standing. Or if you're watching, let us know. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your heart to Jesus, and He became your Lord this morning, when I count to three, I want the boldness for you to raise your hand up. Let me see it and then put it right back down. And I want you to do that with boldness. You know why? Because the Word of God says if you'll confess Jesus before men, you know what Jesus said? He said, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. In other words, don't be afraid and ashamed of Jesus being your Lord. So if you just prayed that prayer, when I say three, one, two, three, I want you to raise your hand up, say, God, I meant that prayer. Put it right back down if you just gave your life to Jesus. One, with boldness. Two, three, go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. In the back, honored. Thank you so much. Anybody, make sure I see it. On my right, y'all's left, is there anybody? Just raise it up, put it right back down. Make sure I see it because you're confessing it before men. Anybody else? If you didn't get a Bible, then they didn't see your hand. Just raise it up. Let me give you a Bible, put it right back down. And we're not going to embarrass you, but it's an honor. Anybody else? Glory be to God. All right, look at me. Thank God for people getting born again in the kingdom. Amen.